in Mandarin.
这里是美国之音的中文广播，现在就开始今天下午六个小时的中文节目。
各位听众好，今天是2018年11月22号星期四，今天是感恩节，祝我们的听众感恩节快乐。现在是北京时间下午5点，下面为您播报美国之音的国际新闻。英国媒体报道，美国政府正考虑将中国监控设备生产巨头海康威视列入出口管制名单，原因是侵犯人权。专家称，此举不仅将严重损害海康威视的生产能力，还将对中国对外监控技术输出能力造成打击。海康威视生产的面部识别摄像头被指广泛用于新疆在教育营。人权组织指出，海康威视在镇压新疆1100万穆斯林维吾尔人中扮演重要的角色。英国金融时报说，因海康威视帮助中国政府侵犯新疆穆斯林人权，美国正考虑将该公司加入出口管制名单，禁止美国企业向其出口芯片等设备和技术。此前，美国政府已经禁止政府机构使用海康威视的产品。中国商务部星期四说，中国将针对美国加强技术出口限制的计划采取必要措施，保护中国企业的权益。中国商务部发言人说，中国正在评估美国有关控制技术出口的先期通知对中国企业的影响，并呼吁美国放松对技术出口的管制。美国商务部工业安全署星期一公布了一份向公众征询意见的技术出口管制先期通知，考虑对人工智能、芯片、量子计算、机器人、面印和声纹技术等等被认为涉及国家安全和高技术的前沿科研的关键领域进行更严格的出口管制，征求公众意见到12月19号为止。美国商务部星期三宣布，对进口自中国钢制货架产品的反倾销、反补贴调查及双反调查作出肯定性出裁，认定中国的钢制货架出口商的可诉讼补贴为 5.04% 到 150.49%。 商务部作出肯定性出裁后，将指示美国海关和边境保护局根据认定的可诉讼补贴向中国钢制货架出口商收取等额押金。中国2017年向美国出口的钢制货架总额大约2亿美元。美国商务部将于2019年4月1号作出最终裁决。如果美国商务部作出肯定性仲裁，美国国际贸易委员会将于2019年5月16号作出最终伤害裁决。就在海军里根号航母停靠香港之前，本周一，美国空军两架 B-52 轰炸机越过中国在南中国海宣称主权的领空进行常规训练飞行，展示美国在这片有争议的水域继续进行自由航行和飞行的决心。美国太平洋空军部队周二表示，两架美国 B-52H 轰炸机从关岛的安德森空军基地起飞，参加南中国海附近的例行训练飞行。空军发布的声明称，这一任务符合国际法和美国对自由开放的印度太平洋的长期承诺。北京此前称，这些飞行任务是挑衅，指责美国将南中国海区域军事化。中华台北奥林匹克委员会星期三敦促民众不要在本周末的东京奥运证明公投中投赞成票，否则将影响台湾运动员代表台湾参加国际赛事。非政府组织保卫家园每年都为华盛顿特区附近的军人家庭提供免费的假日大餐，自从这个项目开始以来，他们已经送出成千上万份的餐食。今年的感恩节，也就是今天，他们将提供400份餐食。以上是美国之音为您播报的国际新闻。
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Moore. Welcome to Functioning in Business.
各位听众好，我是杨晨，欢迎收听商务通英语。
Functioning in Business is an intermediate level business English course with a focus on American business practices and culture.
商务通英语是中等程度的商务英语课程。课程题材以美国的商业实践和文化为主，通过电台播音室里的采访和绘画讲授美国英语。今天我们复习本星期学习的课程，第一课是人物介绍第一部分，介绍主持人 Elizabeth Moore 和语言专家 Gary Angleton。访谈时间，下面就请听 Elizabeth 采访 Gary。 Gary 是我们邀请的语言和文化专家，他曾经在加州大学洛杉矶分校主修语言学，后来获得哈佛大学商学院企业管理硕士学位。
Our guest today is Gary Angleton. Gary is the host of Gary's Tips and also of Culture Tips. Gary's Tips and Culture Tips will be regular features on Functioning in Business. Hello, Gary. Welcome to our show.
Hello, Elizabeth. It's great to be here.
On each Functioning in Business program, you'll talk about how to use English in business situations.
That's right. I'll give tips about American culture and about using the English language in business. I'm glad we're able to do this radio show together.
I am too. I'm excited about doing a radio documentary on using English for business.
Me too. I think it will be interesting and useful for our listeners.
Gary, let's tell our listeners a little about your background.
Sure. What do you want to know?
How did you get into the language consulting business?
Well, my training is in linguistics.
Oh, where did you study linguistics?
I studied at UCLA.
That's the University of California at Los Angeles, right?
Right. I got my BA there in 1979. Then I went to Harvard Business School to do an MBA. While I was doing my MBA, I taught business English to foreign students.
That's interesting.
After I got my MBA, I started my own business. I began helping foreign companies do business in the United States. Now I also work with international business people who need help with their English.
We're so happy to have you on our show.
I'm happy to be here.
Great. Gary, it seems that you have a lot of experience in international business.
Yes, I travel abroad a lot, and I'm often on the phone with my overseas clients.
How did you get interested in doing international work?
Well, I grew up in an international family. My father was in the army, and when I was young, we lived in Germany and Thailand. And my mother is Korean. I've spent quite a bit of time in Korea visiting my grandparents and other relatives.
Oh, do you speak Korean?
Yes, I do.
I didn't know that. I've also lived abroad.
Oh, really? Where?
In China. I studied political science at UC Berkeley in the 70s. Then I got a Fulbright scholarship to study in China.
Where in China did you live?
I lived in Shanghai. After I left China, I did a master's in public policy at Georgetown University.
And so, how did you get into radio?
I worked at the local radio station when I was at Georgetown. I discovered I liked asking questions.
You'll get a chance to ask lots of questions on this show.
I sure will. Let's take a break.
Culture 现在请继续听 Elizabeth 和专家 Gary 进行访谈。
We're back with Gary Angleton, our language and culture expert.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Hello, Gary. Our listeners have sent in some email questions, Gary. They have some questions about American business culture.
I'll try my best.
Our first question is, do Americans usually use their first name or last name in business?
Well, this is a difficult question. Not everyone feels the same about names.
What do you prefer?
Personally, I always use my first name, but some Americans prefer to use their last names. To be safe, use the name that the other person gives you. I always say, "Please call me Gary."
Our next question is, when speaking with women in business, when should we use Miss, Mrs., or Ms.?
Well, Miss is for single women. Mrs. is for married women. They are older words. Ms. is a newer word. Ms. is easier to use than Mrs. or Miss because you don't have to know whether or not a woman is married. I always use Ms. because with Ms. I usually don't offend people.
What do most American women in business prefer?
I believe that most American women prefer Ms.
Thank you, Gary. Let's take a break. Some people use their first name in business, but others prefer to use their last name. They prefer to use their last name. Most American women prefer to be addressed as Ms. They prefer to be addressed as Ms. In the past, people used to address all married women as Mrs. People used to say Mrs.
Gary 提示，这次要讲向别人提要求的时候，应当使用什么样的语言功能？
Hello again, Gary. Can you tell us more about Gary's tips?
Sure. In Gary's tips, I'll be giving tips about language functions.
What's a language function?
A language function is something that you do with language. An example is a request. You make a request when you ask someone to tell you something or do something for you. For example, in an airport, if you say,Can you tell me where gate 21 is? You're requesting directions to gate 21. If you say, I'd like a glass of water, please, you're requesting a glass of water.
I understand. What are some other language functions?
Oh, there are lots of different language functions, like offering, refusing, confirming, and agreeing. For example, when you say, Would you like another cup of coffee? You are making an offer.
I'll look forward to hearing more about language functions in the coming weeks.
Yes, it's going to be fun.
I want to thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. I'll see you again next time.
首先是访谈时间，由节目主持人 Elizabeth 和语言文化专家 Gary 给大家介绍三位工商界人士的情况。
I'm here today with Gary Angleton. Gary is the host of Gary's Tips and also of Culture Tips. Hello, Gary. Nice to see you again.
It's nice to see you again, too.
Gary, let's tell our listeners a little about our show.
Okay. Why don't you start?
All right. As you know, we are following some important business meetings and negotiations. Over the next several weeks, we will be interviewing three business people, Charles Blake, Mike Epstein, and Shirley Graham. Our first guest will be Charles Blake. Mr. Blake lives in Beijing, China. He works for International Robotics, a Chinese company.
What kind of company is it?
International Robotics manufactures industrial robots.
Robots, so it's a high-tech company.
Yes, it is. Then, in another program, we'll interview Mike Epstein. Mr. Epstein lives in Sunnyvale, California, in Silicon Valley. He works for Advanced Technologies, an American company.
That sounds like a high-tech company, too.
Yes, Advanced Technologies makes computer components. The third person we'll interview is Shirley Graham. Ms. Graham is Mr. Epstein's boss. She's a vice president at Advanced Technologies. As you'll see, she and Mr. Epstein don't always agree.
It sounds interesting. When do we start?
In just a moment. Charles Blake will be our first guest. But first, let's take a short break. I'll see you later, Gary.
My pleasure.
Elizabeth 同工商界人士 Charles Blake 进行的访谈。
Welcome back to Functioning in Business. Our guest today is Mr. Charles Blake. Good morning, Mr. Blake. Thank you for coming to our program.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Please tell our listeners a little about yourself and your company.
Well, I work for a Chinese company, International Robotics. Our head office is in Beijing, China.
What does your company manufacture?
We manufacture industrial equipment and robots.
What are the industrial robots used for?
They're used in the manufacturing process, for example, in car manufacturing and in production of computer parts. They make the manufacturing process safer and more efficient. That's because robots don't get tired, sleepy, or hungry.
What are your responsibilities at International Robotics?
My main responsibility is to export the company's industrial robots to North America.
I see. Do you spend most of your time in North America?
Not really. I work at the company's head office in Beijing, but I do spend a lot of time traveling. I usually travel for 6 to 8 weeks a year.
So you live in Beijing?
That's right. My wife is Chinese, and I have one child, a son.
What do you do in your free time?
My free time? Well, I enjoy playing golf and tennis, but unfortunately I don't have as much free time as I would like.
商务对话。
Today's business dialogue is about introductions. Imagine you're at an industrial trade show and you hear this conversation. Let's listen.
Hello, welcome to our booth.
Hello, my name is Dennis Chang. I'm the sales manager for Technology Solutions.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Chang.
Oh, please call me Dennis.
Okay, nice to meet you, Dennis. I'm George Smith.
Nice to meet you, George.
I'm the local sales representative for Ace Electronics in Los Angeles. What can I do for you?
My company distributes hardware and software in the eastern United States. Can you give me some information about your products?
Sure. Here are some brochures.
Thanks.
请听下面的自我介绍用语，并且跟着重复。
Hello, my name is Dennis Chang. I'm the sales manager for Technology Solutions. I'm George Smith. I'm the local sales representative for Ace Electronics in Los Angeles.
Gary 提示，今天Gary 要谈在商务交往中用什么样的语言做自我介绍最合适。
Welcome back. You just heard a conversation between two business people meeting at a trade show. Now it's time for Gary's tips. Are you ready, Gary?
Sure thing, Elizabeth.
What's your topic for today?
Today I'll be talking about how to introduce yourself and your company.
That's a really important topic.You should know how to introduce yourself to new clients.
Yes, exactly. So, if you want to introduce yourself to another business person, say hello and then give your name. Hello is better than hi because it is a little more formal. It's best to give your full name, first and last. In today's business dialogue, we heard Dennis Chang introduce himself to George Smith at a trade show. Notice that Mr. Chang gives his full name and then mentions his position and the name of his company. Let's listen again to the business dialogue.
Hello, my name is Dennis Chang. I'm the sales manager for Technology Solutions.
Let's listen to how George Smith introduces himself. Notice that he also gives his full name, his position, and his company.
I'm George Smith. I'm the local sales representative for Ace Electronics in Los Angeles.
If you want to be polite, you should address people by their last name when you first meet them. In the business dialogue, Mr. Smith addresses Mr. Chang by his last name. Let's listen again.
Hello, my name is Dennis Chang. I'm the sales manager for Technology Solutions.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Chang.
It's best to use a person's last name in a business situation until you are very certain that you can be more informal. In the business dialogue, Mr. Chang tells Mr. Smith to call him Dennis. This is a signal to Mr. Smith that Mr. Chang wants to be informal. From that point on, the two businessmen call each other by their first names. Let's listen one more time.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Chang.
Oh, please call me Dennis.
Okay, nice to meet you, Dennis. I'm George Smith.
Nice to meet you, George.
Today we heard some examples of people introducing themselves in a business setting. Remember, when you introduce yourself to say your full name, your position or title, and the company you are with. And if you are unsure about using a person's last name or the first name, use the last name. Well, that's all we have time for today on Gary's Tips. Talk to you again next time.
Thanks very much, Gary. Our guest today is Mr. Charles Blake. Good morning, Mr. Blake. Thank you for coming back to our program.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
In our first interview, you said you work for International Robotics.
That's right. We manufacture industrial robots in China.
Let's talk a little about your background. When did you first become interested in international business?
Let's see. I studied international relations in college.
I see. Where did you go to college?
Columbia. I studied at Columbia University.
And when did you graduate?
I graduated in 1986.
What other university courses have helped you as an international businessman?
Well, in addition to international relations, I did study Chinese, but only for 2 semesters.
What did you do when you graduated?
I first went to work for World Products, a small import-export company in New York.
And what did you do there?
I was a salesman. I worked for them for about 5 years.
And what did you do then?
After that, in 1991, I joined International Robotics.
Hello again. We're here with Gary Engleton, our business and language expert. We have an email question for you, Gary. The question is, how do people find jobs in the U.S.?
There are many ways to find jobs in the U.S. One way is through employment advertisements in the newspapers. Newspaper ads are very important in finding a job. There are also employment agencies which help people find jobs. Agencies can be very effective too, but they may charge high fees to help you.
Really?
Yes, but sometimes the company will pay your fee when they hire you. And some agencies will help you write your resume. They can also help you get interviews with important companies. And sometimes the employment agency will help you practice your interviewing skills.
The Internet is also becoming very important in finding jobs. Isn't that right?
That's right. Many companies now use the Internet more than newspapers. But the most important place for jobs is among friends and acquaintances. At business conferences and at parties, people often try to meet someone who can help them find a new job. Meeting and staying in touch with business associates is called networking.
Thanks, Gary. That was very helpful. Let's take a break.
商务对话，今天的商务对话将怎样介绍你的学历？
Today's business dialogue is about describing your educational background. Let's listen to Mr. Rosenberg as he is being interviewed for a job. The interviewer asks him about his educational background.
Mr. Rosenberg, can you tell me something about your educational background?
Yes, certainly.I did my B.S. degree at the University of Wisconsin. I majored in computer science. I graduated in 1983.
I see from your resume that you did a master's at MIT.
Yes, I got a master's in electrical engineering and computer science in 1986. My specialization was microprocessor design.
Gary 提示这次我们请 Gary 来谈怎样介绍你的学历。
Welcome back. It's time for Gary's Tips. What's your topic for today, Gary?
Today, I'll be talking about describing your educational background. Sometimes you will need to describe your educational background. You might be at a party or in a more formal situation, such as a job interview.In today's business dialogue, we heard Mr. Rosenberg at a job interview talking about his educational background. He talked about where he studied, what degrees he received, and when he received them. Let's listen again to part of the interview.
Mr. Rosenberg, can you tell me something about your educational background?
Yes, certainly. I did my B.S. degree at the University of Wisconsin.I majored in computer science. I graduated in 1983.
Let's listen to some more of the interview. Listen for the information Mr. Rosenberg gives about his master's degree. First, he gives the name of the degree, and then he says what area he specialized in.
I see from your resume that you did a master's at MIT.
Yes.I got a master's in electrical engineering and computer science in 1986. My specialization was microprocessor design.
Usually, we use abbreviations to refer to degrees. When people say they have a BA or a BS, that means they have a bachelor's degree. A BA is a Bachelor of Arts, and a BS is a Bachelor of Science.These are degrees you get after 4 years of study at a college or university. Higher level degrees are called graduate degrees. An MA is a Master of Arts, for example. An MBA is a Master of Business Administration. Many business executives have an MBA. There are many different ways to say that you have a degree. For example, you can say, I did my BA at Stanford.I got my B.A. from Stanford, or I have a B.A. from Stanford. Also, when a person says, I went to Stanford, this usually means that the person graduated with a B.A. I hope today's tips were helpful.
Thanks, Gary. Well, our time is up.Tune in again next time for Functioning in Business. See you then.
今天的商务通英语就复习到这里。谢谢各位收听。我们下次再见。
For further study, a Functioning in Business study kit is available from your local bookstore.
为了帮助学习，商务通英语备有课本和录音带，整套辅导学习材料，听众可以去本地的书店购买。
下面播报美国之音的国际新闻。英国媒体报道，美国政府正考虑将中国监控设备生产巨头海康威视列入出口管制名单，原因是侵犯人权。专家称，此举不仅将严重损害海康威视的生产能力，还将对中国对外监控技术输出能力造成打击。海康威视生产的面部识别摄像头被指广泛用于新疆在教育营。人权组织指出，海康威视在镇压新疆1100万穆斯林维吾尔人中扮演重要角色。英国金融时报说，因海康威视帮助中国政府侵犯新疆穆斯林人权，美国正考虑将该公司加入出口管制名单，禁止美国企业向其出口芯片等设备和技术。此前，美国政府已经禁止政府机构使用海康威视的产品。由于投资者对美国进口禁令的担忧，海康威视从今年早些时候的高点下跌超过 35%。 中国商务部星期四说，中国将针对美国加强技术出口限制的计划采取必要措施，保护中国企业的权益。中国商务部发言人说，中国正在评估美国有关控制技术出口的先期通知对中国企业的影响，并呼吁美国放松对技术出口的管制。美国商务部工业安全署星期一公布了一份向公众征询意见的技术出口管制先期通知，考虑对人工智能、芯片、量子计算、机器人、面印和声纹技术等等被认为涉及国家安全和高技术的前沿科技的关键领域进行更严格的出口管制，征求公众意见到12月19日截止。美国商务部星期三宣布，对进口自中国钢制货架产品的反倾销、反补贴调查及双反调查作出肯定性出裁，认定中国的钢制货架出口商的可诉讼补贴为 5.04% 到 150.49%。 美国商务部作出肯定性出裁后，将指示美国海关和边境保护局根据认定的可诉讼补贴向中国钢制货架出口商收取等额押金。中国2017年向美国出口的钢制货架总金额大约2亿美元。美国商务部将于2019年4月1号作出最终裁决。如果商务部作出肯定性仲裁，美国国际贸易委员会将于2019年5月16号作出最终伤害裁决。就在海军里根号航母停靠香港之前，本周一美国空军两架 B-52 轰炸机越过中国在南中国海宣称主权的领空进行常规训练飞行，展示美国在这片有争议的水域继续进行自由航行和飞行的决心。美国太平洋空军部队周二表示，两架美国 B-52H 轰炸机从关岛的安德森空军基地起飞，参加南中国海附近的例行训练任务。空军发布的声明说，这一任务符合国际法和美国对自由开放的印度太平洋的长期承诺。北京此前称这些飞行任务是挑衅，指责美国将南中国海区域军事化。与此同时，美国海军星期二宣布，里根号航母和斯坦尼斯号航母以及战斗群现在在菲律宾海域共同执行任务，此举也同样彰显美国对海上自由的承诺。中华台北奥林匹克委员会周三敦促民众不要在本周末的东京奥运证明公投中投赞成票，否则必将影响台湾运动员代表台湾参加国际赛事。非政府组织保卫家园每年都为华盛顿特区附近的军人家庭提供免费的假日蛋餐，自从这个项目开始以来，他们已经送出成千上万份餐食。今年的感恩节，他们提供400份餐食。各位听众，以上是美国之音为您播报的国际新闻。
以下为您重播美国之音 VOA 卫视时事大家谈节目。因为是节目录音，请您不要拨打电话。
听众观众朋友们好，欢迎收听收看美国之音 VOA 卫视11月21号星期三的时事大家谈，我是许波，我们在美国之音华盛顿演播室为您现场报道。美国国防战略委员会上个星期公布报告指出，中俄两国寻求区域霸权，美国在全球的军事优势逐渐丧失。报告说，在下一场冲突中，美军有可能只会险胜，也许呢会输掉对中国或是俄罗斯的战争。那么近年来呢，许多美国智库发表类似的军力评估报告，从不同角度论述中俄，尤其是中国急剧扩张的国力和军力对美国全球战略的威胁和影响，引发美国国内及全球的热议和反响。那么影响美中军力消长和变化的主要因素都有哪些？美中最有可能发生军事冲突的热点地区都在哪里？目前美国的国力和军力都远胜中国，为什么担心输掉美中战争的人越来越多呢？我们今天时事大家谈就邀请专家与听众观众及网友朋友们一同来探讨这些问题。在香港通过电话连线参加节目的是香港军事评论员马鼎盛。马先生你好。
你好，各位听众好。
在台北呢，通过电话连线加入访谈的是台湾亚太防务杂志总编辑郑继文。郑先生您好。
您好，各位听众大家好。
我们欢迎两位嘉宾，同时我们欢迎听众观众朋友们拨打美国之音免费热线电话参加讨论。您还可以通过 VOA 卫视在 YouTube 上的网上直播收看并加入我们的现场讨论，网址是 youtube.com/VOA China。 我们先来谈谈这个报告本身吧。这个报告的结论呢，是美国军力可能不敌中俄，未来呢有可能会输掉对中国和俄罗斯的这个战争。我首先来请教香港的马鼎盛先生，美国国防战略委员会这是一个什么机构？您如何看待这个报告的权威性和它的真实性呢？
这个机构呢，应该说是半官方性质，它拥有一批这专家学者，这学有专长的、有实践的经验的，甚至是一些退休的这个国防高官。它的权威性和真实性呢，无可置疑，因为它主要是表现了美国的一种传统的战略思维，就是忧患意识。他不管自己有多强大，敌人多弱小，他永远不会轻视一个敌人，因为战争是千变万化的，强的不一定赢，还有很多方面的因素。具体来讲，现在中国的国力，起码是这数字上面是这个急速发展，急速的拉近和美国的差距，这差距越来越小，所以它有这个忧患不奇怪。再加上如果是中俄两个联手去跟美国对抗，那么美国的胜算呢肯定又是大大的减少。再有一个呢，就是冷战，最关键是冷战的时候为什么美国和他的盟友能赢呢？是因为他们团结一致，而这个华约就是共产这个国际革命的方面，它不一致，内部崩溃，所以冷战这个西方是取得胜利。那如今是大大的不同，如今是这多边主义，比方说这个法国和德国，他又想这个另起炉灶，搞一个欧洲军队，在这个东方 韩国有时候也不咬弦儿，面对这么凶恶的北韩敌人，韩国有时候也自把自为，不跟着这个美国的指挥棒走，日本国内也有这一些反美的声音，台湾也如此，所以美国最怕的不是中国和俄罗斯的武器装备，最怕的是他这个反共集团或者说是西方这个盟邦里边。出岔子，倒戈一击，那他这个胜算就很微了，这是我的看法。
嗯，那么主要呢是美国方面的忧患意识。我来请教台湾的郑继文先生啊，近年来呢，美国一些智库都发表过类似的报告，像兰德公司的报告、传统基金会的报告啊等等。那您怎么看这一次美国国防战略委员会上个星期公布的这份最新的报告？它与以前的报告相比，都有哪些异同呢？
我认为哦，其实这个报告，这个报告，它的这个，我认为它的这个核心思想就是陈祖马先生讲的，就是有一个忧患意识，特别是料敌从宽。其实这种思维从冷战以来一直如此。那我们还记得1980年代的时候，美国国防部当时总会定期公布所谓的苏联军力报告。当时所描绘的苏联军力其实是非常非常强大的哦。但是没想到，其实后来苏联就是这个整个被拖垮。哎，这个事实和美国所做的这个报告其实有极大的落差。因此就美国军方的角度来看，他确实把料敌从宽这个精神其实是一直贯彻他各种论述以及想定。但我认为时至今日哦，美国的军力是否这个变弱或者会逊于中俄，我个人认为就现阶段来讲，事实还远非如此。特别是这个报告还指称，美国的这个可能国防经费如果再不这个好好的提高，再不在许多地方这个加强的话，会逊于这个中俄，未来可能战争会这个被打败。但我们就现在的国防经费来看，像2019年的时候，美国的国防预算大概是这个7100多亿美元，那我们看2018年。这个中共的国防预算大概是1700多亿，那俄罗斯呢大概400多亿，因此中俄在军事上的花费只远远逊于美国的。而且我们从大概军队的武器装备，特别在训练以及与盟国之间的这个协作以及相关这个演训等等，其实中俄都没有像美国以及他盟国所达到这样的条件。我们从2014年迄今，我们就可以看到，举北约为例，那北约频频在俄罗斯的边境，从北的这个北大西洋、波罗的海，那到东欧乃至于整个黑海，我们可以看到频繁举行军演哦。那相对的，俄罗斯只能被动的进行一些回应。那另外，在这个亚洲，其实美国对于中国大陆其实也展开类似的势头。那比如说美国与日本、美国与东南亚国家都有非常这个畅通的联系，以及一些例行性的军事演习。因此就总体军力甚至泛政治这个实力来看，我认为中俄两国其实要与美国相提并论，特别是美国的朋友圈那么大，我认为其实还是有很大的困难。但这个报告还是点出了美国所担忧的，特别是中俄两国都在发展所谓的不对称武器，进行不对称的作战，确实在某个领域部分削弱美国的优势，那这是美国恰恰非常担忧。我认为美国在许多这个智库以及一些委员会所强调的要增加一些投资，主要就是针对这些应对型的武器装备和新科技，那拨出更多的款项，那以及在这个不对称作战这个部分，让美国不至于居于下风。
好的，那么我们看到呢，美国五角大楼实际上不认同这种观点。最近国防部高官呢纷纷出面，认为美国还能够同时打赢两场大战，或者至少呢接近于打赢。 让俄罗斯或者中国在这一场博弈中看不到有什么希望。那我来请教马先生啊，从美国武装力量的外观来看，它堪称巨无霸，7000多亿美元的这个军费开支呢，令中俄望尘莫及。那为何国防部这些国防专业人士会得出这种悲观的结论呢？马先生，
这个结论呢，有它一定的道理。正如刚才郑继文先生所说的，你要是比7000亿美元的这个美国军费和中俄加起来大概才2000多亿，那这个差距是巨大的。但是这个不能这么看。我们看这个报告是针对美国国内社会、舆论、人民和国会。那你要打仗，关键是要取得这些人的支持。
嗯。
这些人要支持你，像冷战那时候，那就是铁杆了，没得可说。你要是不是东风压倒西风，就是西风压倒东风。但是今天，正如这个报告所说的，美国现在那眼睛是注视于这种非传统战争，什么反恐啊，什么地方的这些这个小打小闹啊，而中俄呢，好像这个报告就说他目标是明确的，就是对抗美国。
嗯
啊，这个落差就不是这个7000亿美元和2000亿美元可以反映得出来的，这是一点这个忧患意识的依据。还有一个呢，是这个战争，下一场战争不能从武器装备上来看，
嗯，
得从那个心理状态。就美国人想不想打，如果是和俄罗斯碰，和中国碰，美国会不会第一时间投入？那我们看，从格鲁吉亚看，从这个乌克兰乌东，从这个克里米亚看，美国他那种战意啊不浓，对中国也是这样。中国他那个战意浓在什么地方呢？浓在南海。
嗯，
他真是搞了这个人工岛，真是大家都想象不到，几年当中好像一个基地群就已经可以妨碍美国的战机和战舰包括核潜艇的自由进出了。那么美国这个就觉得你这反应不够及时，如此以往呢，再过10年8年恐怕这个情况就更加迫切。
嗯，
所以他现在提前拿出来这些这个忧患意识，可能是把它稍微放大了。当然目前还可以，但是还有一点，就是什么叫打赢，什么叫打输。美国一直是要以很低的这个伤亡打赢才国内才接受。那么如果是打这个持久战或者打消耗战，你也死人，他也死人，美国就作为一种惨胜，他可能就不会在美国本土以外肯打这种这个玩命的战争。
嗯，
比如说台湾问题，比如说朝鲜半岛问题，真是要大家玩命的时候，美国人民、美国舆论、美国国会，是不是会同意你去玩命？这一点。就是战意不浓，这一点可能是中俄是比较强项的。
嗯，战意不浓，意呢当然是意识的意啊。我来请教这个郑先生啊，有人认为
是
说美国国防智库呢和五角大楼实际是密切相关的，他们提出来未来战争这样警讯呢，无非就是要为国防部增加军费来提供借口。那么中国官方媒体似乎呢就是这种观点。那郑先生，您怎么看这个问题啊？
其实美国的这个智库这个类型很多，而且这些智库其实和政治界，其实和军界，那通常有良好的关系。那另外一个大家所知道的公开的秘密，也就是这些智库通常与军火，就是军工企业，那特别是我们都非常知道美国的军工体系，那它的力量是非常强大的哦。
嗯，
也因此有人称之为所谓的军工复合体，它的这个影响力那直通美国的政界以及学术界等等。也因此那过去以来经常有许多观点认为，许多智库所这个营造的一些舆论，所进行的一些论述或一些主张，那经常会与美国 政府高层所意向的一些方向，或者美国军火业所希望营造的一个这个市场的势头，其实颇有关系的。比如说就我生活的这个台湾来看，那过去来其实有不少智库会发表有关两岸的那诸多的议题，比如会指指台湾这个军方需要添购什么样的武器装备。那之前最有名的就是战机要尽量减少，应该大力发展所谓导弹的武力。其实这种很极端很偏颇的一些主张，那当时就被认为那与一些军火厂商希望在这个台湾的这个军售市场可以抢到一块大蛋糕有很大的关联性哦。那这只是冰山的一角。我认为那美国的智库所论述和主张那是否足够客观能反映世界的形势，我认为他的这个大家的怀疑其实这个问号是很大。特别他是经常受到包括军工复合体军火业以及美国政界那包括鹰派部分人士那所这个影响，因此他所做的论述经常是带有一定的这个指向性或一定的目的。那对此这个我们知道他的这个运作这个形态以及一些这个所谓的这个灰色地带就可以了解了。那美国这个智库那他所这个做的一些论述那其实那都是有一些目的存在的。
好的，下面呢我们就来具体考察一下美中之间最有可能发生局部战争的这个热点地区。未来美中最有可能发生冲突的热点之一呢，无疑现在是南中国海。不久前我们看到美中军舰短兵相接就是一个例证。另据最新报道呢，说美国空军两架 B-52 战略轰炸机日前飞越南中国海并逼近这一地区的岛礁附近。那么我来请教马先生，请设想一下未来美中会在何种情况下发生冲突，冲突会保持在什么样的一个规模，以现有美中军力的对比，战争的结果又将如何呢？设想一下。
冲突和战争两回事儿啊。要是冲突呢，什么时候都可以发生，但是可控的。它的那个激烈的程度，它的那个伤亡程度，它的那个这个引起这个干预的地域和时间都是很有限的这个冲突。那么如果战争呢，就另外一回事了。战争我认为在可见的将来，中美没有理由也不会打一场战争，就是战争而言啊。那么至于如果冲突在哪儿是更可能呢？我看还是台湾是更可能，当然南海也可能，但南海只是小打小闹，你再怎么样它也是一种这个，或者是飞机碰一碰，或者是军舰甚至潜艇核潜艇碰一碰，完了它不涉及到这个领土的更换，它不像台湾，那台湾是怎么要解放掉，或者是美国援助把它打回去，那这都是目的性很强很大的一个目的了。那南海那都是小意思，如果是发生冲突呢，它那规模不会很大，时间也会很短，但是中美军力对比是怎么样的结果呢？那得看具体是一场什么样的仗。也就是美国那个军舰要这个逼近到中国的岛礁，甚至是这个擦边球，或者是进入了领海范围了。那这些都只是开枪开炮，死人，沉船，顶多是这样而已。它很快就会过去了。这胜负是很难讲的，因为这个突然性。谁要是想打第一枪，他这个有这个开火的这个意识，他肯定占便宜。这个战术的突然性，很可能就把对方的飞机或者军舰甚至潜艇搞掉了。但是后果呢？别人报复也是可能是空军轰炸或者是导弹轰炸等等。结果怎么样呢？就大家从互打。降级到互骂，互骂完了以后就完事了。 这种事情呢，充其量像这个60年代古巴导弹危机一样，它不会大打出手的。
嗯，
如果说南海而言，要是说台湾那就不同了。台湾如果真是中美在台湾进行一场战争的话，可能是动摇国本。
好的，
在北京来讲是动摇国本，在华盛顿来讲，胜负可能是取决于一个政府的下台。
嗯，
这一方面恐怕这个郑继文先生有更加切身的这个看法。
好的，那马先生啊，关于台湾问题，我们下一个问题详细探讨。我们现在先来集中看南中国海。我来请教台湾郑继文先生，未来南中国海呢？很多观察人士都看出，说必然是一场高科技的、以海空战为主的这样一个局部战争。虽然近年来中国海空军呢有了这个长足的发展，但是如果从武器的硬件呢、从软件呢以及经验和训练等各个方面综合来考量，那您觉得中国是美国的对手吗？我指南中国海这个区域。
当然就传统的这个海空军来讲，现阶段的这个中国军力还不是这个美国的这个对手哦，特别是美国是向来是强调它的海空军的机动、快速、精准的投射能力。
嗯，
那特别大家要注意到美国这个航母打击群哦，那十个，那近期其实它不费吹灰之力就可以派2个战斗群，打击群到这个菲律宾海附近进行操演。那可以展现了它很强的动员和机动能力。也只就这个南海这个地方来讲，如果中美真的在此那爆发冲突，我认为以美国海空军的优势来讲，要摧毁这些岛礁甚至占领岛礁，我认为对他来讲不是一个很困难而且这个做不到的事。但是这个关键是，如果这样做它的后果是什么？
嗯，
这后果可能就不是发动战争、发动冲突那么简单，它就涉及两个强国啊，这个军事上的较量哦。那我们都知道，中美两国是都有核武的这个两个强权，因此，那战争如果大打的话，上升到这样级别的这个战争，其实对中美两国可能都讨不到便宜。因此，这就是为什么那。这个中共方面，那过去以来一直积极这个推动所谓的核武现代化，包括这个洲际型这个导弹、海基潜射的这个导弹，那大力强化它的这个现代化能力，主要就是以这样的这个郑国神剑的这个兵力作为后盾，让类似南海如果爆发冲突被夺走，或者他的对手那轻启战端，他必须要思量一下。面对我这个核武的能力，那是否有能力承受这样的代价？也使这样的格局其实就限缩了南海这个地区，中美两国其实爆发比较大规模冲突，甚至美国夺占这些岛礁，这可能性哦会大大的降低。
嗯，
也使一般来讲，那类似2001年这种撞击事件。包括空中飞机的可能这个意外，或者海上船舰这个冲撞的意外，这个倒是有可能会发生。
嗯，
那至于说那种大打或者比较高层级的战争，我认为是不太可能。另外，随着中美两国都走向一些高科技的武器装备和技术，我认为在可预见的未来，这种无人化的包括这个水面船。无人化的潜艇或者无人飞机在南海岛礁进行中美两国类似装备的一个较量或博弈，
嗯，
那倒是很有可能。这就是涉及所谓的侦察反侦察，而它与一般我们所认知的所谓传统的战争和冲突，它的情境可能会大大的不同。
嗯，好的，那么我们今天时事大家谈讨论呢到这里就结束了。时间关系啊，我们不能一一播出网友朋友们做出的所有评论并回答网友们的所有问题。我们感谢这个马鼎盛和郑继文两位先生参加我们的节目。我们时事大家谈呢是一个自由的论坛，嘉宾听众观众发表的都是他们个人观点，不代表美国之音。明晚时事大家谈节目呢，我们将为您邀请3位来自中国的嘉宾，谈谈他们为何关心 台湾的大选，欢迎收听收看。另外呢，也请啊关注我们的美国观察节目。好，我是许波，我们下次节目再会。